Well, praise the Lord. Been asking the Lord for what the Lord is saying in this hour. And if you'd like to open your Bible to the 13th chapter of Luke. Luke 13. Amen. And I'm going to read a few verses here. Start in verse 22. It says, "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Oh, yeah, go ahead, Alan.
Lucas capítulo 13, versículo 22, hasta 23, ngayon. O Jesus, mipadayon sa iyang paglakaw agi sa mga kalungsuran o kablanayan na nagapanudlo o nagpanaw padulong sa Jerusalem. O binay ningon kaniya, Ginoo, jutay ba ang maluwas? O siya ningon kanila, panlimbasugi ninyo ang pagsulot agi sa puntahan ng masigpit, kay subin lang ko kamo, nagaghan ang nagapagtinguha sa pagsulot apan dili makahimo.
Amen. Now, I kind of find that to be a very interesting question, that a man would ask Jesus such a question. I think if you think on that for a little bit, you might ask yourself the same question. Why would a man ask Jesus a question if there are few that be saved? Why didn't he ask, Lord, are there many that be saved? What kind of preaching was this man listening to? Or should I say, what kind of preaching was Jesus doing? It would seem that the kind of preaching that would bring out a question like this would not be the kind that would get you a big spot on the television program. It would seem that the man had not been listening to prosperity doctrine preaching. Come and get rich. Come and drive a nice car. You know, this preaching is gone all over the world. This prosperity doctrine, and you know, it has gone into the poorest countries in the world, and people are listening to it. I don't know if any of you know where Romania is. We went into Romania, somewhere in the late 1990s, I suppose.
Mga, iya mga na pamalandungan, tumiyag sa dito sa Romania, mga
1999.
Maybe 99, yeah, I don't know. The people that we ministered to were very, very poor people. And the communists had been there, and they had just really destroyed the people and the economy. And the woman that had invited us, her husband was not a believer. But he came to the meeting and he kind of made fun of us. And he said, well, he went over to Budapest, Hungary, which is over their neighbor. And he said that there was a big name preacher there. And this fella preached that everybody that was listening to him, if they continued with the word he was bringing, would soon be driving a nice new Mercedes car. Now, these people didn't even own a car. And they were deeply in debt. And he, being an unbeliever, I found out later that he tried to, by fraud, obtain money so that he could become rich. And he was put in jail. And her little teenage sons had to go over into Hungary and live in some construction building to earn a little money to send food money for the mother to live. So you see, there's another gospel being preached. And the gospel that Jesus was preaching was not an easy gospel. It was not an everybody saved gospel. Lord, are there few that be saved? And I'm thinking that Jesus' definition of being saved might even be different than what the preachers are preaching today. You know, if you read the Psalms, if you read the words of David, I have the impression that David believed that he would not be saved until all his enemies were put under his feet. Until all his enemies were really defeated, then he would say, I am saved. And then I'm asking myself, how did Jesus handle the big crowds? He fed 5,000. We know he had a big crowd one time. And those were just the men. So if each man brought his wife and two children, they had 20,000. Now, an evangelist today would probably say, well, let's make sure all these people are saved before we feed them. So let them all divide up in groups of 100. And I'm going to send the disciples out, and they're going to have them all say the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me. Lord, thank you for the blood. I'm sorry and I'm going to change now. Amen. Now you're saved. So we got 20,000 saved today. I'm talking about Jesus. I have no record that he ever did anything like that. People would come to him and say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Oh, you've got too much money. Give it all away. But Lord, can't I just say I'm sorry and forgive me of all my sins and then I'm saved? I mean, Jesus is God talking. The words that he spoke are the words of the Heavenly Father. Lord, are there few that be saved? Now, I don't know what kind of a relationship you've got with God. I'm sure you talk to God and I'm sure you ask him questions. Do you find that God is real nice and he always answers your questions just the way you'd like to have them answered? I find that he answers the way he wants to answer. In other words, this is a yes or no question. Lord, are there few that be saved? Yes or no? But the Lord doesn't answer yes or no. The Lord answers and he says, let me tell you what it's going to be like to be saved. And when I tell you how difficult it's going to be, then you figure it out. Are there many or are there few? So he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. What does strive sound like?
Pagkakinig, paglibasog, ha? Kanakapulong at pangsilibasog, libasogin ninyo.
He didn't answer, "Ah, oh, don't worry, just take it easy, everybody's going to get in." It isn't going to hurt. Why, when it's all done, you'll hardly know you paid anything. Well, Brother Mark, I don't want to drive them away, you know. I want to make the salvation sound attractive, you know. They call it a user-friendly gospel. The pastor of the biggest church in America, I don't have to say his name. You can look it up and figure it out. There was a big television man that interviewed him one time about his big church. And they asked him, and they said, "Well, how do you deal with sin in your church?" "Nah," he says, "we don't talk about that." And he said, "Well, how do you deal with homosexuality?" He said, "We don't go there." So you can understand why this church has thousands and thousands of people. They put on a big show. I mean, they just got everything just working like a clock. And if you come in and you're involved in sin, nobody is going to confront you. Nobody is going to say, "Well, wouldn't you like to get this problem taken care of?" See, now this is a thing that God has called shepherds to take care of sheep. Because sheep have problems. Sheep get wounded. You know, they get broken legs and they get skin diseases and wild animals attack them and bite them, you know. And sheep get involved in sin. And they need to be led to the Good Shepherd. Hallelujah. So he said to them, the way into the kingdom, amen, is something you're going to have to strive for. Now, I'm not an expert in Greek language. And one of you can look this word up sometime and tell me I was wrong about it. But I believe that this word strive means not just a one-time thing, but a continuing, ongoing process. Some languages have words that imply that.
Na mga lingwahe na kinahanglan ay nang magbutang din siya.
you're going to have to strive not just to get in the door, but you're going to have to strive all the way across until you finally come into the Holy of Holies.
Ang mao nga pagpalimbaso, dili kay ingon lang amo agi ka sa portahan nga dako kayo nga mulad ug kanay kun dili kinahanglan gyud nga manlimbaso nga makaabot kita dito hangtod dito sa balaan sa tanang balaan nga dako.
To try to strive to enter in at the straight gate.
Ah, isa ka paning pasigi mayo nga maka subay gyud gamon ni ana nga mao nga tul-id nga dalan.
For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, I suppose I've been wrong about some things. And maybe I'm not entirely wrong. But I've always thought that if a man really wants to enter in, he will be able to enter in. So I suppose the question is, how badly does he want to enter in? Do you want to enter in badly enough that you will sell all to buy the field?
Gusto makatan musunod niya na bisan pag grabe na kay kalisod niya ato yun na siya nga pandipaso nga mapalit ato sa pangitan mapalit ang butang nga tumakuha ang sabi taliwala sa kalisod.
On the other hand, would you like to enter in? It's a good idea, but what's it going to cost me? Go out on the streets and ask the people, would you like to go to heaven when you die? Of course, you'll find some people out there that say they don't believe in heaven. And we don't have to get into another definition of heaven here. All right, now go to the churches and ask how many expect to enter into their heavenly reward when it's over. And if they've been listening to preaching all their life, I'm sure they'll say yes, they would like to. So many will desire to enter in and they will not be able. Why would you not be able? Let me ask you another question. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, and what goal did they have when they left Egypt? Was it their purpose to spend the rest of their life in the wilderness? I see some heads shaking. No. No. That was not what they had in mind. Did they know about the covenant that God had made with their father Abraham? That God would give to Abraham the promised land of Canaan. So they all left, a million people or more. And they What did he say? Well, they sought to enter in. But they were not able. Why were they not able? Were they not able to walk? Did they have no weapons? Were they all starving? No, that wasn't the problem. The problem is in Hebrews, the third chapter.
Ang problema diri sa Hebrewanon, at makita ni na sa ikatulong pahina o ikatulong kapitulo.
It says in verse 18 and 19.
Hebrewanon kapitulo 3, versikulo 13.
Well, actually, let's go to verse 14. First of all, it says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end."
Yeah.
Brother Allen.
Chapter 3, verse 14.
Yes.
Kaya kita nahimong mga mag-aambit kang Kristo kung ang atong unang pagsalig pagpadayon ng ta sa pagkupot na malikon hangtod sa katapusan. O sa samtang ginaingon pa, 15, verse 14.
Just 14 for now. Yeah, okay. So it says we are going to be a partaker of Christ. We're going to be a partaker of Christ if we sign the little card and say the prayer, and that's all we need to do. What about that word if? You have a word like that in your language?
Yes, kon.
Kon, yeah. And it means there's a condition. And the condition is that you have to be steadfast all the way to the end.
Ang kondisyon lamang, ha? Kung ikaw magpadayon o mabarong gayon, o niya mo padayon gayon ng ato samahan.
In Matthew 24, Jesus said,
Matthew 24, na isingin ni Jesus Christ mismo nagsulti,
"He that endures to the end will be saved."
Isang magpadayon gayon hangtod sa katapusan, siya lamang ang maluwas.
Saved. That's maluwas. The word Jesus used.
Ha? Mauna siya, luwas yun, ang ingon din haan.
So what happened to these people is they got out there in the wilderness and they did not endure to the end. And the endurance that they were asked for was not originally a 40-year endurance.
Ang ilaha gayon nga ang kapus ang ilaha pagpadayon, wala man sila makaibalo pilagyot ko pa mga tuig.
They came to Kadesh Barnea, if you look it up, within 2 years of when they left Egypt.
Ha, kung di ka magur sila sa Kadesh Barnea, o niya kung niyong tanaw din na agitan sa pagdikan nila sa Egypto, muabot lang, mudagan lang o duha lang katuig.
So all it took time for God to give them the law and build the tabernacle. And by the time they got to Kadesh Barnea, the spies were sent in. And they came out with an evil report.
Unya, nibalik sila nga naa sila, hindi maayo ang ilahang mga taho.
Now, here's the thing. We were talking about an evil report. Some of the facts that they reported were absolutely true. There are giants in the land. They've got chariots with iron wheels. However, it was their interpretation of the facts that made it an evil report.
Bisan pa niya nga mao nga mga taho nila ay sakto siya pero aduna siya dili maayo ang ilang makit-an
sulti. And their interpretation was based on their unbelief.
Og ang interpretasyon sa ilang pagsulti nagabase lamang diha sa ilang gayon nga pagkamadudlo.
And so the 19th verse of Hebrews 3 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Og nakita tanga wala gayud sila makasulod tungod sa pagkadili matinuon.
Amen. Now there's what is involved here is entering into a gate or into a door.
Unsa magkay atong mga malandong nini nga makasulod ba dito sa usa ka dakuluag na dalan o di alam gyud sa usang puntahan?
Because the next verse here back in Luke 13 says verse 25.
Kay kun imong tanaw ang sulod nga bersikulo nini nga makita sa dito sa Lucas.
Jesus is talking. He's answering this man's question, are there few that be saved?
Ningon si Jesus sa tubag sa pagutana ni atong mga tawo sa naghan ba maluwas.
He says, once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand outside or without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he will answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are.
Gawas unya pagpanay sa pagpanugtog nato sa mao nga iyang amo unya mayo siya nga ginopasudlak wapan siya rahatog at siya dili problema na lang sa sinawas.
So you see there's a barrier here.
Na imo makita din nga naa siya ay mga kaulangan o babag ini.
He first called it a gate.
Unang tawag isang kini siya nga gitawag diha sa dako nga pultahan.
And he said the gate is very narrow.
Og kana nga mao nga agianan siya usa ka kana nga sipit nga dalan.
If you read this passage in Matthew, he says his gate is very narrow, and but there's another gate that's very wide and very easy. In other words, the other gate is very user friendly. Has a very attractive word. Doesn't talk about tribulation, doesn't talk about suffering. Doesn't talk about having to buy the oil. It doesn't talk about the possibility of missing the door when it closes. But Jesus is saying that the day is going to come when that door is going to close. Now what kind of door are we talking about? Door like this? Hi John. What kind of door? Luke 13:24 and 25.
Lucas 13:24-25.
A big wooden door. No, 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 Brother Martin. Not a big wooden door. A big gate, a big stone fence, you know, a big iron gate. Well, how would you define the door? Do you know that the Bible defines itself? What did Jesus say about the door? John chapter 10. I am the door. I am the door. Now he's talking about entering in through Christ.
Nagasulti niini nga ang atong pagsulod dito sa pungkutan dito pag Kristo Jesus.
Now, if your mind is still stuck on looking at one of these doors with a big wooden frame or something, and by the way, Lito made a very nice door here. Amen?
Amen.
But you cannot define Jesus in terms of this kind of door. How do we describe something spiritual in natural terms? You have to go through Christ to get there. It's not something you can walk through. God is a spirit. You're going to have to come into Him in spirit and in truth. You can't get into Christ any other way. And by the way, my understanding of coming into Christ is coming into the kingdom. Can I make it a little more complicated by talking about these verses in John chapter 3? Here, I'll read it so I don't get it wrong. Gospel of John. Talk with Nicodemus. Verse 3, chapter 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Gawas kon ang tao iganap pag-usab, dili siya makakita sa ginarian sa Dios.
So what do you get when you're born again?
Nao sa may atong nakuha sa dihang matao ta pag-usab.
You get qualified to enter into the kingdom because now you can see it.
No,
don't try to change the words. I didn't like it either when I saw these words. No, that isn't what you meant. Yes, that is what he meant. I don't know what your Bibles say. I hope your Bibles are saying it properly here. And then, of course, Nicodemus, he's really in the flesh. His understanding is carnal. He's thinking how he can get back into his old mother, you know, and do the thing all over again. No, that can't happen. Then Jesus answered, Verily I say unto you, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Verse 5.
Amen. So we're talking about being able to enter in through the door. So you see, the door presents, shall we say, how do I say it? I could say a barrier. I could say a point of demarcation, but that's a big word. Yes, it is a separating point, isn't it? Jesus said, the master of the house. What house? What's the house of God?
Amen. Amen ang panimalay.
What is the house of God?
Unsa man ang panimalay ni mo? Unsa buhay lahi buhay dayo si Victoria ni mo malungkot.
Is it not the church?
Dili pa kani kani simbahan.
The true church. The people of God.
Ang katawhan sa Dios.
Amen.
Amen.
His true kingdom.
Mori siya ang tinuod dayo ng harian.
But he says that he's the master of the house. Is that not true? And he says that one day the master of the house is going to rise up. And shut the door. See, now it can't happen like that. Because he is the door. So it's more like in other words, he's shutting he himself. These are spiritual things. They're very difficult to understand. He is the door and he shuts the door. Which means he says, okay, no more coming in, no more going out. It's all over. In other words, there's coming a time when you have made a decision on which house you're going to be in. You want the old house of religion? You can be there. You want the new house of being in Christ? You can be there. But there comes a time, no more going back and forth. It's done. Now, don't you suppose that what he said about the 10 virgins is probably speaking the same thing? You see, there was a closing of the door there, isn't there? And what made the difference of who was inside and who was outside?
Kita mismo na kay palo, kita man nasa sulod o kita po nasa gawas.
You see, an open door is different than a closed door, isn't it? An open door is free access. But a closed door is some of them are shut in and some are shut out. If you're shut in, you're sealed. If you're shut out, you are not having an opportunity to partake of whatever is going on inside the door. Now, I didn't say this is a decision between eternal life and hell. I didn't say that. I believe he's talking about some end time things concerning the sons of God that are going to be manifest in the very last days. You see, during the time of tribulation, some are going to be kept and protected. I'll get into that in the afternoon message. Okay, but let's just stick with the door here for a minute. Where else did Jesus talk about a door? I am the door. Well, he didn't directly talk about the door, but he talked about a man that was shut into a door when he said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In fact, every example that he gave in Matthew 24 is and 25 is involving some kind of a deadline. You know what I mean by a deadline? You have that term here in your language? Yeah. In other words, you have the opportunity to buy something up until a certain time on the clock, and that's it. After the clock strikes, no more. So even with Lot, there was a time when there was a deadline. Get out of the city now before the rising of the sun, because when that sun comes up, this place is going to be destroyed. Get out now. There was a deadline. Even when he said, two in one bed, one taken, the other left, two in the field, one taken, the other left. Even when he said that, he was saying there's a deadline, but you don't know exactly when it's coming. And even in Matthew 25, I believe it's Matthew 25, where he talked about his, I'll call him his careless servant. And And this careless servant had to be a man involved in ministry in the church. Maybe I should turn to that page just so we get it right, because the man was abusing his place and his privilege that he had in God. Here it is in verse 48, chapter 24, Alan, Matthew 24, verse 48. But he said, "And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, 'My Lord delays his coming,'"
Pamuspo sa iyang mga masig kaulipon o magakaon o magainong kauban sa mga palahubo.
Now, God did not say this was a man of the world. He said he was his servant.
Ang Ginoo automatic na di, ano yung ang Ginoo, hindi kiningon nga kanang mga tao sa kalibutan, kundi hindi siya sulugoon sa Ginoo nila.
I would have been kind and call him an unfaithful servant, but here it says evil servant. And what was he doing? He was beating his fellow servants. Smiting and eating and drinking with the drunken. He was definitely not faithful, was he? And I think it's implied that the Lord is coming in a day when this fellow is not expecting him. He's probably thinking, I've got plenty of time to get in order. I've got plenty of time to get the sheep in learning the proper word of God. I've got plenty of time. Take it easy. Prosper a little bit. Make a little money on the side. You know, let's do whatever I have to do. Get an easy life. And suddenly the deadline came, and he wasn't expecting it. See, God is not giving us a day and an hour, is he? A man would like to get it all timed. He'd like to have his house in, you know, well, I've got so many months, I get things ready, you know. Anyway, I'm thinking back on Noah again for a minute.
Sa padayon ta, natin pamilangon pag-usap ang pagitabo sa panahon ni Noah.
All God said to Noah was, I'll give 120 years. Now, I don't know by experience how long 120 years is. My father was born 111 years ago. My grandparents were born about 130 years ago. I knew them. And I'm trying to think, how long ago was that? It probably didn't seem like that long a period of time. You know, twice as long as I've lived. Do it again, it's not that bad. So this time period came to an end. I don't think Noah knew exactly when it was going to happen. One day the Lord said to Noah, okay, it's time. I want you to come into the ark. Did you notice how I said that? God did not say to Noah, it's time for you to go into the ark. Did you notice the difference?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is why words are important. The difference between go and come. When God said to Noah, come into the ark, it meant he is in the ark.
Amen.
And he said, I want you to come in where I am. And people misunderstand where Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. He didn't say, where I will be. He said that where I am, disciples, where I am now, you can be. You can be in the Father where I am now. And I'm going to prepare the way for you. So that when I'm gone, you can come into the Father like where I am. Now, this is preaching the kingdom of God. This is not preaching pie in the sky by and by. How many of you want to be where he is? Okay, so Noah came in. By the way, I went and looked it up when I discovered the word come. And I looked a couple chapters later and I thought, well, how did Noah go out? Did God call him out or did God send him out? No, he sent him out. In other words, God was the first one in and the last one out. And the ark was the vessel of deliverance. And God is building now a vessel of deliverance
ang Dios karong panahon na diha sa usa ka katawhan nga
for the cataclysmic thing that is coming upon all the earth. But he's building a spiritual ark. And it has a door. And the door is the master. And on the seventh day, the door was closed, and Noah had nothing to do with the closing of the door. Noah did not close the door. And so, in the ark, those that were to be saved, yes, the Bible uses the word saved. It says that eight were saved. Amen. It's in, what is it, Jude or Peter? That eight were saved. Amen. And they were shut in. But there were people that were shut out. And they came and they knocked on the door. I believe they came and knocked on the door. When they saw the water coming, when people realized that the prophetic word of God is true and it's going to happen, they're going to come to the door and they're going to knock. Lord, Lord, open unto us. And the Lord will say, I don't know you. But now you see, they're not coming to a natural house or a natural ark made out of wood. They're coming to a spiritual Mount Zion company. An overcomer's company, give it any name you want. And like the foolish virgin, they will desire to enter in. This isn't going to happen in some secret faraway place where people can't see it happening. You will see it happening. And you will either be in or you will not be in, but you will see it. Miracles, signs, authority. It will not be done in secret. Hallelujah. Let me just finish, if I can, with a little story. Amen. I had an experience one time when I was working. I mean, working in the kind of work where you work with your hands and kind of thing Lito was doing this week. He was building a wall. Lito built this wall this week. And I was working for a man that was, we were assembling office furniture. I don't know if you have you ever been in a big office. Do they have them here where they have the walls and the desks and cubicles? You know what I mean? Cubicles. You ever been in? They must have them somewhere around here. Anyway, we would assemble these things. And we assembled one that must have been 3 or 4 times as long as this wall. Big, heavy pieces, and there were cubicles, and there were desks, and it had electricity that ran through it, you know, so you could plug your computers in, and there was a beam about this big that ran along the outside wall of the building, and it kind of ran at an angle like this. It was a big steel beam that held the building together. And so we built the office thing up against that thing, and there was a space behind it, you know, about like this. I was a worker, but I was also in charge of the team that was building it. This is what a hospital administrator does when he quits working for the big jobs. He gets a wrench in his hand and he does what he has to do to bring some food. Well, we got the whole thing put together, and somebody went inside and they plugged something into the electric to see if it worked. And oh my, no electric power. It took us 3 or 4 days to build that thing. It was way too heavy to move. You could not just slide it out and slide it back. There were hundreds of pieces attached to this thing. So I got a flashlight and I came over here to the wall. And I looked down, and I could see the electric pigtail that came in from the wall, and it was just hanging there. It was not plugged in. So not only was I in charge of the team, I happen to be the smallest man on the team. These were big husky fellows I was working for. Guys that could pick up heavy things, you know. So guess who got elected to go in and fix it? So I started my way, I got down on my down on the ground and I began to crawl to get in. This is my brain, by the way. I call it my brain. It has all the phone numbers and appointments and everything else. See, young people carry all this stuff in their little iPhones and all that, but I'm old-fashioned. I write it down. And you can always know me. Every picture of me, it has this thing right here. So I began to crawl my way in. And I got up to... Now I said, Jesus said the way is narrow. I got up to this point and it wouldn't fit. So I had to take it out. I started in again. I got up to this. My belt buckle would not fit. I took it off. Then I got up to this and I found out that my wallet would not fit. Now, once I got rid of my money and my brain and all that, I wiggled and wiggled and wiggled. I had to go about from here almost up to where Medlin is. I got a hold of the thing. And I went in the wrong way. I couldn't do it this way. So I had to come out and go in this way. This way, I was able to plug it in. So I finished work that day and I started my way home. And I said to the Lord, Lord, that was tight. You ever talk to the Lord on your way home? Lord, that was a tight squeeze today. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that go therein. And I said, Lord, is it really that hard? Yes. It's really that hard. This word straight, I think it's in Matthew, it means when somebody defined the word, they looked it up, and the word is groan. G-R-O-A-N, groan. Are you familiar with that word? Groan is the way. And few there be that find it.